Welcome back to Word on the Hills, with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Katie Hoogendam. Katie, on your radio show, you invite people to call in and read a story they've written. So does this tempt you to write more stories too?
Tempting, yes. I really like curating what other people send to me. Yeah. I will admit, on one occasion, I did write a false story, but no one had sent anything, and I needed something, but I'll never tell which one that was. So
tell me how this works, then. You ask them to send in a story, and mm-hmm. they send it on email to you?
That's right.
On email. So
yes.
You read them.
That's
it
right.
It isn't them reading.
That's right. So, for instance, last week's theme was neighbors, and people sent in things on neighbors. I read those, and then I get them ahead of time so that I can base my musical playlist around the theme. And then last week, then I mentioned that this week's theme will be good friends. So they hear it on the show, and then they also post it through Facebook and other things. And then they send it to me through the week, and then I make my show around what they've sent me.
You'll only own up to one story, but what about your essays? Are they different in their themes and content from your poems?
Definitely. My essays are, I guess, part of my professional mind, if that, you know, really mm-hmm. exists. So I usually write for educational journals, or there's a faith-based publication that I used to write for. So they're along more concrete themes or themes related to sort of those areas, I suppose,
and
I should
education.
Say. Yes. Mm. Yeah.
So tell us some more about the radio program and what you most enjoy about it and so on.
Oh, I love it. I don't know if you're familiar with the early 90s television show, Northern Exposure. It's my all-time favorite show. And my male alter ego, or my animus, I guess, is this male DJ for this tiny town in Alaska, Chris Stevens, K-Bear. And ever since I was maybe 13, I've always wanted to do that. Uh-huh. And so when we moved to Coburg and I heard that we're all volunteers here at 89.7, my husband said, "You really should do it. You've always wanted to do it." So I sort of, you know, just do what he does, which is take the stories of local people and play music, and it all kind of comes together. I really like the idea of the radio as kind of the heart of the community, so I feel like that's what I'm trying to do, what I'm trying to accomplish.
So do people mostly send you stories from their lives, or are they fiction?
They have to be from your life.
Oh,
so
they,
true life accounts uh-huh. about a theme. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the most surprising one you've received so far?
Oh, the most surprising. I'm not sure. I don't really know, but I like it when people risk being personal. And sometimes that means they have to use a pseudonym, and that's okay. They'll write to me, you know, their name's Frank, but they actually want to be called Alice or something
yeah.
like that. And I really appreciate that. That risk that people take to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you hear a true story, you feel a little more part of the universe. You feel a little bit less alone. Kind of the reason I'm doing it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do from time to time interview people. I've had a couple of musical groups come in. A couple of weeks ago I had the Northumberland Contemporary Dancers come in. They have a dance collective, and so I do interview people from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they talk about their experiences as a group, or
yeah, yeah, and I do enjoy doing interviews, but that's more of just a time to time kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to read us some more?
Sure, I think I'll read the other poem that's in the chosen for the anthology, and then maybe a couple of haikus just for fun.
Sure.
Okay, this is the other poem for the anthology of this year, and it's called "My Mother's Raspberry Patch." In my mother's raspberry patch, I learned that if you want fruit from the stalk, you have to endure blood on your hands, to be patient with resistance, fruit to flesh, to be at once violent and gentle, the allegiance of skin to root. Only when your hands are red with guilt, I learned, can you return home. There your work will be washed and boiled and canned, transfigured into jam, adulterated beyond recognition in the kitchen. The patch, the blood, the clinging, just a memory, now forgotten.
Thank you.
The haikus, again, are just me playing with form. And honestly, I wrote all 17 in an hour, manic hour. There's 17 syllables in a haiku, so that's why I chose that number. So they're meant to be a little funny, but I should say this is called 17 Short Poems with Really Long Titles. So, on loving someone who will not allow you to get too close. My alpaca won't allow me to touch him, no. He understands true power.
You just have one.
One alpaca? Yes. Well, and the pony. You're supposed to have more than one alpaca, so at a time. They get really lonely
the
for their kin. Yeah, it's not a perfect situation at the moment, but I'll read the one about the pony then. If horses could talk, they would probably first laugh at our total ineptitude. Cold horse in morning, frost on muzzle, sky eyes bright, beast teacher, I kneel. I'll just read one more of the haikus. The title is, On Considering the Impact of Humanity's Total Lack of Concern for the Environment and Its Impact Upon Future Generations. I watched black raven and gray owl alight. My child, will you bear witness?
Thank you. So you've got a shorter title for your longer poem.
I have a shorter title for the longer one, yeah. And it seems I'm on a Frankenstein kick. When you hear your own poems, you start to realize, oh, there's something rattling around in there that's trying to come out. So this one's called Post-Postmodern Prometheus. I had intended to paint the back door red this summer, fire engine red, though there was no emergency. But really, Vixen, or at least that's what the paint company calls it. There's no such thing as a slut, wrote Miriam Taves. Maybe she's right, maybe not, but it's a brave line to write, knowing that despite erecting signs, there will always be solicitors at the door. But there's more. It's really all about imagination, the figures conjured by wishful incantation, as if the spirits of neurochemistry aren't as real as what the eye can see. My manufactured ghosts harangue and haunt me, though quite unseen to those who seek to see, or maybe that's just me fooling me. I recognized myself in the mirror the other night. This is no joke. This body, this energy, no small matter. I thought it was the clatter of Christmas past, dragging cans fast along the floor like a dead bride on her wedding night, car covered in tin and well wishes, flipped into the ditch, no time yet for babies, mortgages, dirty dishes. But no, there were no cans, no ghost, no apparition. Only recognition. Not Narcissus falling into the pond, not Ophelia drowned down, just myself. My eyes, my ears, my mouth, no evil to speak of. And this frightened me at first, and then, like Narcissus, okay, I guess you're right, I fell in. I fell into myself madly, deeply. My flesh ripped open in the throes of consummation, and when it was done, I sat like a grandmother, kindly, up all night by the fire, no scotch, no brandy. Just a needle thread hands gently back and forth stitching, the light dimming, but no mind. My eyes adjusted, trained on the thread, in and out like kneading bread, repurposing flesh I had thought dead. In my mind, did I worry about Frankenstein? Sure, I did, for a moment, but the torment passed. Not Frankenstein at last, but my form recast. More like the shedding of skin, these stitches. I had grown too big for my britches. Ouroboros, no longer comatose or dishonest, I suppose, shed and stitched or somewhere betwixt and between, which is to say, no longer average, mean. But here's the thing, the dream always tries to pull you down, back. The demons in the basement shoot their anorexic forearms up straight up from the cracks in the floor. The more you grow, the more they scream, their need consumptive. You pace and pace to push them down or get violent, pound. Wasn't there a sledgehammer around here somewhere? But God, you've got to remember. Get out of the damned house, lock the door, call a friend, walk the dog, get some coffee. Do something entirely undramatic. If you don't, you'll start thinking about the attic, obsessing about the one half-broken light up there, making and remaking your little bed in your head, drafting plans to move there and stay, anything to avoid the basement or rent. We forget we live in debt to everyone. We want to think we owe the world nothing. We want to write poems no one will read, but this can't be. Thank God for mail to send, trash to put out, bills to be paid, floors to be swept, wood to be chopped, water to be carried, art to be made, baths to be run, dinner to be cooked, coffee put on, the last chapter of that book, libraries, honesty policies, Christmas trees, which must be discovered, savored, and dismantled, necklaces that must be disentangled, the varieties of triangles, the infinite promise of infinite angles and sentences always in need of diagramming. And here's the thing, there are so many ways to skin the cat, but only if it remains a real cat, breathing, real stitches, dissolved and dissolving.
Thank you, Katie.
You're welcome.
So, as Katie says, two of her poems will be published shortly in Hill Spirits 2. If you would like to hear this show again, please go to our website. You'll find all our programs archived there, and you can listen to them anytime from anywhere. The address is www.wordonthehills.com. And to connect with Gwyn and myself, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for who we might interview in future programs to wordonthehills897@gmail.com. And thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week.